Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. On a bit of a somber Monday, I'm late getting the show up today because I had to travel back home to Columbia, Mississippi to say goodbye to another friend. I think I shared with you guys a couple weeks ago how difficult that was, but here we are. A couple things I want to say about that before we get too deep into the show. I don't know how long we go today because I am emotionally exhausted, but the show must go on. That's my attitude. I don't allow my personal life to interfere with my professional life when I can help it. So here we are. But I guess really two people I want to talk to. Number one, I'd like to speak to those of you that have lost someone to suicide. It's like most days people are afraid to kind of call it for what it is, but it is what it is. Number one, it's not your fault. It's not your fault. And I've had several friends that have passed away of suicide. I shared with you guys how deeply hurt I was when Grant Fontenot, my good friend from Baton Rouge, elected to take his own life. But it's not your fault. And I've had to say that a lot lately. It's one of those things that you never get over. You just kind of get on with. But I want to share with you that there is a lesson in all this. And I think one of the most important ones is we remain alive to tell their story. And that's the complete story, not just the ending, but the complete story. And as I shared with some young people, you know, it is up to you now to carry the lessons learned from your father to your own children about life, good, bad, and indifferent. The second group that I'd like to speak to are those of you that may be considering harming yourself. We talk about that from time to time on the show because it's a very real thing. We live in a world now where depression is almost celebrated. Mental illness is also excused in some respects. We have a real mental health crisis in this country, and there is help available for you. You can dial 988, or you can text 988 if calling is not available or not possible, and you can get help. And I encourage you to do that, because I had to sit in a service today and watch a lot of people shed tears and shake their heads and wonder why. There was no note left. There was no explanation. There was nothing but tragedy. And I can tell you, there's everybody in there is going to live with this for the rest of their lives, wondering why. Why? And my friend Jim, he made a great point. He goes, you know, Steve, as great as we are as friends, and as great friends as we have, there are still some things you don't talk to anybody about. And I had to agree with that. I don't know that that's the right way to live, though. I'm very transparent. I probably overshare on this show and on social media and things like that. And part of that is because I don't want people to feel alone. I don't want them to feel like their pain is somewhat unique. It's not. And I share that with you because everybody needs somebody that they can be completely transparent with. And sometimes you think, well, I don't want to tell my spouse because I don't want to be judged, or I don't want them to think that I'm weak, or that perhaps I'm making excuses, or whatever other mumbo jumbo you have in your head. I think relationships have to be built on honesty. And but the reality of it is that there are some things perhaps you need to share with somebody outside of your circle for fear of judgment. And that's one of the things that I share all the time with people in recovery. Here's my number. If you ever need somebody outside of the circle to talk to that won't judge you or condemn you or think less of you, then you call me. And sometimes there is comfort among strangers. I have found so much comfort in my life in the rooms of AA and NA, Celebrate Recovery. And I had somebody one day, there was this guy that came to, he was sort of showing up at meetings. And only came to the open meetings. They didn't come to the closed meetings. You know, not that they're ever going to call the police on you or anything, but closed meetings are for people who were actually in AA. But anybody can come to an open meeting. And we just kind of ask that you don't, you know, you respect our traditions. But I noticed this guy that was coming regularly, and I went up and spoke to him, and I said, hey, you know, what's, you know, can I help you, man? Here's my number or whatever. And he goes, you know, I'm not even an addict. He said, but I'm just so moved by this. He said, I actually saw this on a movie, and I thought, well, maybe I could benefit from going. And he was actually a minister. And he didn't have a problem with substance abuse. But he was so fascinated by what was happening in the rooms of recovery. He said, I wish church was more like this. And I said, well, what do you mean? He goes, I wish people were so, were as open and willing to talk about their real problems. And I can tell you, as a guy that has drank a lot of cheap coffee and sat around a lot of folding tables in his life, miracles happen through honesty. People cannot help you if they don't know you're having a problem. We all get so busy in our everyday lives, raising kids, paying the mortgage, you know, trying to meet deadlines and things like that. And sometimes we're not acutely aware of what's happening with our friends or our family. And you just kind of assume that everything is okay. And so give people a little grace. And I'm going to encourage you, open your mouth. You don't have to live this way. You don't have to walk around thinking nobody cares. Because I can tell you, people care. I sat in a church full of them today. And I heard a young man try to read a letter from his brother that made it about two sentences and then had to hand it to the minister to have him finish the letter. And one of the last things it said in the letter is, I wish my dad knew how much we and all of you loved him. Let that sink in for a second. And the thing that I ask myself is, how many people do I love that maybe don't truly understand or comprehend how much I love them? And so many times we get so caught up in all the things that don't matter, we forget about the things that truly do. And it could be that somebody that we love is carrying a burden that we're unaware of. I saw a reel a while back, and I could watch those things for hours. And the question was, when's the last time somebody asked you if you were okay? And I began to kind of ponder on that. I don't remember the last time that somebody asked me if I was okay. Now, granted, I have been kind of trained through the principles of recovery that I don't have to sit around and be prompted for that. Like if you ask my wife, hey, when's the last time you had to ask Steve if he was okay? She would tell you, I never have to ask him. Because when I'm not okay, I will tell her I'm not okay. And I think back to the Mike Leach passing. It's one of the darkest days of my life, man. It was. Especially in recovery. You know, when all this is going on, you know, I'm in reporter mode. I'm in journalist mode, right? I'm trying to chase down facts and trying to get to, you know, the truth for you guys because we're all very concerned. And then as I get towards the end of the day, I begin to realize this is not just a story. This is my friend. And at that point, I already knew that he was gone. He just hadn't been legally pronounced. And I called my wife, who was in New Mexico at the time. Many of you remember that. It nearly killed me. And I just let it go. I said, babe, I am not in a good place. I'm going to be okay, but I'm sad. I'm heartbroken. And I sat there and cried on the phone with her. And I said, you know, it's going to be such a big story because it's Mike Leach, but it's going to be such a big loss in my life because this is my friend. I'm never going to see him again. And even if somehow he pulls through this, he's never going to be the same again. And sometimes I wonder if Coach knew how much I love and respected him. And one of the nicest, in fact, I'm trying to get emotional here. After Mike had been gone, we'd had the memorial service and Mike had been gone a few days. And I was on my way to New Mexico because I needed to go heal, right? I needed to be in the arms of the woman that loves me and just kind of be, hurt for a while and not try to be all tough. I just had to retreat And on the way out there, John Cohen called me to see how I was doing and to see how the service went. And John said, "Steve, I want you to know how much Mike Leach loved and respected you. I hope you know that." And I don't know if I knew or not. But I know this. I know that we live in a very hurting world. I know there are a lot of people today that are carrying burdens that sometimes may be well beyond their capacity. And sometimes just making that call or text, say, "Hey man," or "Hey girl, I'm just checking up on you." Sometimes that makes a difference. I had somebody share with me recently, and we're going to move on from this. I had somebody share with me recently that there was a guy that was involved in a men's Bible study in the Brandon and Madison area that is a peripheral friend of mine, kind of by proxy through one of my best friends in the world. And he said there was a guy that all of a sudden they noticed that he kind of quit coming to the men's Bible study. And he seemed to be a guy that was getting a lot out of it. So one of the guys took it upon themselves. It was kind of laid upon his heart. I need to check in with this guy. And he checked in and he texted me. He goes, "Hey man, I noticed you hadn't been at Bible study for a while. We miss you being around. Me and a couple of the guys are going to go to the movies tonight. The wives have an event." I can't remember what was going on. It wasn't a girls' night out, but it was one of those things where all the guys needed to get out of the house, And said, "Hey, we're going to go to the movies. You want to go with us?" And so they went. The guy laughed and joked and had a good time. The next week, he shows back up at the men's Bible study. And he confessed to those guys. He said, "Man, I've been going through this divorce. My wife took the kids. It's going to be very expensive. My life is changing. I'm stressed out. It's impacting every aspect of my life. I'm having trouble at work." And he goes, "And I made up my mind that morning I was going to kill myself." And he said, "And then I got that call. And I realized that somebody cared. And I found out today that guy's still just doing well." I don't know his personal situation, but he's still coming to men's Bible study, still living, and seems to be in a much better frame of mind. And so you never know when just your kindness could not just change the direction of somebody's day, but perhaps the direction of their life. You could save somebody's life just by being a good friend. I'm not trying to put the burden or the onus on you. I'm just trying to make this impactful as I can. Because if I had known that Chris was going to kill himself, I certainly would have made that call and say, "Hey man, just checking in on you. How are you?" And it seems so innocent and it seems so workaday. But for that man or woman that out there is just struggling under the weight of the demands and the stresses in their life, it could mean everything. We all want somebody to let us know that they care about us. We want to know that we matter. As I've shared many times on the show, never ever underestimate the void that your absence will create in the lives of those who love you. And sometimes they don't have the words to tell you maybe how much they love you. So on their behalf, let me tell you, they really do love you. They're not trying to trick you. It's not some big charade. They love you and they would miss you. And it would be them sitting in that funeral home, crying their eyes out, wondering why. Second-guessing themselves for the phone calls they didn't make, the texts they didn't send, and perhaps the invitations they didn't offer. I love each and every one of you. Whether you love me back or not, I love you. And I want you to be here with us. And I want you not just to be at Davis Wade Stadium and Duty Noble and the Hump and all that, even though that's kind of the spirit and color of life sometimes. I want you to be present in the lives of those you love. And whatever you're dealing with today is temporary. No matter how bad it feels, no matter how much it sucks, it's temporary. And I promise you, You can make it through it. You're not the first person to go through a bankruptcy. You're not the first person to go through a divorce. You're the first person to have a tragedy befell you and your family. You're not the first, and you're not going to be the last. But you can live to tell the tale and help others and be a positive force in the lives of those around you. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of the show. I love Bulldog Burger Company. I had Bulldog Burger just the other day. And let me see, what did I get? I got the Sloppy Joe sliders with onion rings, and we got the spring rolls. I can't remember what the bride got. She got, if I think about it, the mushroom and Swiss, maybe. But it was great. It always is. Like, I mean, it's like I get hyped up, like when I know, hey, Bulldog Burger Company is in my future. She'll hit me up and say, hey, do you want to do Bulldog? Let's do it. I don't even have to be convinced. It's always a good decision to do Bulldog Burger Company, right? They always have something that'll scratch the itch that I'm having. Those people know how to feed folks at Bulldog Burger Company. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Star Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Have those spring rolls as your appetizer to make you and everybody around you better looking. We all need more of that. And get that chocolate shake and ride that ride home with a smile. You'll be glad you did. I'm the kind of guy, I need a palate cleanser. I do. Honestly, there'll be sometimes I'll have dinner at home, and then I don't eat a lot of sweets. I eat some, but I don't eat a lot. I'll go get like a bowl of cereal or something, you know, just to kind of wash it down. But sometimes I treat myself and I have that chocolate shake. You deserve that too. So live your life as best you can, but make sure Bulldog Burger Company is part of the plan. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay. It was a bad news weekend for the Bulldogs, so we're going to start with the good news, and then we'll get to everything else. And again, I don't know how long we're going to go, but nevertheless, Mississippi State picks up a couple commitments over the weekend. Junior day, the last junior day, the dead period began today on Monday. I think that's correct. Either today or tomorrow. I think it's today. Yeah, I think it's today. And so that's going to run until the early part of March. So there will be no in-person recruiting during the month of February. And that's a good thing, right? I mean, you got to think, I mean, these guys have been running wide open, you know, basically since the regular season ended, you know, whether it be, you know, finishing up the 2025 high school and junior college class, then the portal class. And the next, as soon as you get the portal class thing done and get it guys here and enrolled, next thing you know, you got to get juniors in here. You know what I mean? It never stops. And so now they kind of get an opportunity, and everybody gets a chance to kind of rest. And you've seen hundreds of offers go out every single day around the country over the course of the last few weeks as the contact period was in place. And so everybody was hustling to get guys in for the February 1st Junior Day event. Around the country, just about everybody in the country had one final junior day event. And then they'll bring some guys back in smaller groups for spring practices. And then you'll have a big group, of course, for your spring game. And then we're going to go silent again. And then we'll start bringing guys in for officials and state over the weekend, set up some official visits for June with some of the junior day attendees. But we picked up two out-of-state guys. And doing this portal work always pays off. It always pays off. And I've been nonstop working on the database the last couple of weeks, you know, building out profiles, reaching out to kids, you know, getting phone numbers, you're letting them know, hey, we'll work on your profile. Want to make sure that, you know, we have your up-to-date height and weight. Make sure we've got all your offers together. Are they all on your social media? Do you have some you didn't report on social? And there's always a few. Look, I didn't put my small ones on. No, we need to put them on. All need to be on there. You know, let's be respectful to all those opportunities. And so I have worked tirelessly on that the last couple of weeks. And so fortunately, when these guys committed, we knew who they were. We didn't know they were going to commit, but we knew who they were. And already had a good detailed profile page already kind of built out. And so the first commitment, and it's so interesting, I got a text the afternoon of junior day from somebody connected to Niceville, Florida High School to make sure that Jacoby Green showed up. So I understand his coach is supposed to be bringing him, you know, let me know. So I said, hey, well, do you think he's going to commit? And they said, you know, I don't know that he'll commit right now, but I know he really likes Mississippi State. I said, well, that's interesting. So you kind of file that away, but I'm thinking, it's not going to happen. And it does. And to be honest with you, I love those kinds of surprises, right? I don't feel like that I get caught unaware. It's just a guy that, the first time that I saw his name, it was when I went and added his offers on his profile, the ones that were missing. And didn't even have a chance to watch him until last night. And really like him. 6'4", 330 pounds. He's going to be an offensive guard in this system. I don't know that he's got the feet to play tackle in the SEC. But the guy has really good footwork. And he is not one of these big-bodied offensive linemen that just kind of gotten by on being bigger and stronger than everybody. Technically, he's pretty good. And you don't see a lot of guys at 6'4", 330 that maybe use their hands and move their feet as well as Jacoby does. And again, when he committed, all I really knew was his name and that I had worked on his profile. And again, he committed, so I watched the video last night. And I would encourage you to watch it. He'll play a little bit out of position in high school due to team need. But somebody on the board said he kind of reminds a little bit body size of Gabe Jackson. And I agree. He is a big barrel-chested guy that carries the weight in the torso, in the shoulders, in the chest, right? I mean, he's a big, robust guy. He's going to have to get in college shape. But how many guys have you seen that are underdeveloped in the upper body and they carry a lot of bad weight above the belt line? This is not Jacoby Green. He is more like Gabe Jackson. He's just a guy that's kind of robust and kind of rounded out. I really like what we've seen from him. And again, he commits. And there are some connections that work out well for us here. But 14 offers at the time of his commitment. And we'll continue to monitor that. Because now that the evaluation period's over, there'll be some guys that will get back, kind of compare notes and send out some new offers. But of course, he commits to state. Alabama A&M, Alabama State, Central Michigan. You're not impressed yet. Well, he has an offer from Florida. Florida A&M, Maryland, Miami, Ole Miss, Troy, Tulane, UAB, UMass, and South Florida. That's a pretty impressive offer list at this point in his recruitment. And so Mississippi State goes out there and beats a couple of other SEC schools, including Florida. And you thought I was going to say Ole Miss. I don't think it's a big deal to beat Ole Miss for a Florida kid. I think it's a big deal to beat Florida for a Florida kid. Now, that's not to say that John DeCosta and those guys at Florida are going to give up on him. I think they'll continue to pursue him. So we're going to have to work hard to keep him. But this is a good get. And I'm always a little bit hesitant about in-state or out-of-state early commitments unless they have a connection to us. And I'm told there actually are some connections here with this one, and we're kind of digging into some of that stuff. But this is not a real big surprise, Steve. Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Wayfair's Labor Day clearance is here. Right now, score up to 70% off everything home, plus fast shipping on everything right to your door. Shop now through September 2nd at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
I like him, and I think you guys are going to like him too. And I think, again, what you're going to see with Phil Loadholt, because Phil was a guy that played in the National Football League not too terribly long ago, but he has played in some big-time games, and he still looks like a guy that could play. So when he walks in the room, he's going to command attention. And I think it's a great thing. It's kind of like I felt with Hevesy. Now, Hevesy obviously didn't have the playing background that Phil Loadholt did, but when John Hevesy walked into an offensive line meeting and recruiting visit, they see a guy that's a big physical guy that has played offensive line in college. Well, Phil Loadholt is a guy that played professionally for a long time. And so even if the kids don't know him, their coaches do, their dads do, their uncles do, That's very important. And so I'm told that we're going to see Phil Loudholt kind of recruit in his own image. And I think this is one of those things. Jacob's not quite as, or Jacoby's not quite as tall as Phil at 6'4". But this is a 6'4", 330 guy. We've had guys with those dimensions play a tackle in this league before. Now, the game has changed a lot. But I love the commitment, and I think when you go watch his film, and you can actually go to his 247 Sports profile and click on Watch Highlights and watch that for free. You know, so we've saved you the trouble of having to go dig all that stuff up. It's all right there. His offer list, recent pictures, it's all there. It's all there for you to see. Now, another commitment we got is Cameron Brown, and I actually set up his profile page last week. His state was very, very active at Valdosta High School. Jeff Lebby himself went to Valdosta High School and offered a few kids out there, including Cameron Brown. And while they're there, they set up the Junior Day trip and even tweets out, "Hey, I'll see you guys this weekend." Well, little did we know that he was going to come to commit. Now, he's got 17 offers, mostly from the G5. So let's run those down just so you guys know. Appalachian State, Arkansas State, East Carolina, Georgia Southern, Georgia State, and then Georgia Tech. There's a Power 4 offer for you. Kennesaw State, Kent State, Liberty, Maryland, another Power 4. Memphis, Tulane, UCF, now in the Big 12. UConn, UMass, and Vanderbilt. So really nice offer list. And Valdosta, of course, you guys know, over the years has been a very talent-rich program. There was a time when Valdosta High School used to be the best high school program in the country. And so I worry about this one just a little bit because, he is from Valdosta, Georgia, but I don't know if there's a connection there. And so I hope that this wasn't a scenario we get caught up in emotion a little bit. But and I'm just kind of calling it for what it is. I have spoke to Cameron, and he's really, really excited. But, you know, what happens if Georgia Tech really gets serious about him? Kid from Valdosta with a chance to stay closer to home. You know, we'll see. But it's not that far a drive. It truly isn't, to come from Georgia. But, you know, one thing that Melvin Smith used to always tell me, and I probably learned more about recruiting from Melvin Smith than anybody, and many of you young guys and young gals that listen don't understand the reference. Melvin Smith used to be the greatest recruiter in the state of Mississippi. He was the great recruiter at Ole Miss, and he was a great recruiter at Mississippi State under Jackie Sherrill. And one thing he used to say is, you know, how many SEC schools do they have to pass by to get to us? Right? And so, like, when mom and dad have to get in the car and come watch them play, how many SEC schools are on the route? Right? And so that's the thing you kind of consider. But, but the young man says he's good to go. And we'll take him at his word. And again, I like his film. He's 6'1", 170. I think he may actually end up being a free safety when it's all said and done. I do think maybe he could be a bigger boundary corner. But, watching the film, you got to think, what's he going to look like, you know, with 15 to 20 pounds on him? I think he's going to look like a safety. I mean, you're not going to have a guy out there, you know, 6'1", 190 pounds playing corner. I just don't know if he'll be quick twitch enough. And if he is, he's an NFL guy, right? I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just, it didn't always work that way. So that's something to kind of really watch. I mean, he could probably still play corner at maybe 180, but you're carrying a little more weight than that. You know, you'd have to be a freak. But his film, very good. Knows how to elevate. Love guys that understand that. That's one thing. So you watch some of these guys, and I see a lot of people that rank players in my industry. And, they say, well, you know, look how well he catches it. And I'm like, hey, do you have anything of him in the air? Do you have anything in the red zone with him elevating into traffic, making a play? Do you have a guy crossing the face of a safety and having to elevate to secure a catch? Do you have any of that? Because you're not going to be able to just run under the football in SEC. You're going to have to fight. You're going to have ball skills. And one of the things that we have learned is that it is difficult to teach ball skills. It is instinctive. If you don't have it, it's difficult to bring it out of you. That's one thing Terrell Buckley and I talked about extensively. You recruit ball skills. You don't develop ball skills. And that's what this kid has. He has some ball skills. And that's important to understand. And, especially on the defensive side of the football, you're not going to run under the football, except with rare exception. in major college football. You're going to have to go up and elevate and fight for the football and oftentimes rip it away from a receiver. And I think Brown has the ability to do that. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by closewithblair.com. No top 10 list today. I told you guys we're going to kind of cut some things down because I've got to get some rest. But Blair Chandler is my friend, your friend, our collective friend in the mortgage industry. And they don't tell you that when you're young. You're going to need a mortgage loan originator in your life. 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. You need to look no further. 24 years of experience. Get his expertise and know-how working for you, whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home. Look no further than Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Made the move to Priority One Mortgage last year. The same level of service went with him. He's the guy that's always in demand. Everybody wants Blair because Blair's going to get you to the closing table when so many other people can't. Not everybody has his expertise and know-how. So don't overthink it. Don't overcomplicate it. And listen, this isn't like going and buying like a used car for your kid, okay? Even though that's an important purchase, this is your home, okay? So stick with a winner. Stick with a professional. Stick with a bulldog, Blair Chandler, who rides the wave of emotion with all of us. Season ticket holder in multiple sports, has a place here in town. And we'll do a great job for you. And so hit him up at closewithblair.com. If you need the number and you forget it, just feel free to hit me up. I'm happy to provide it. We've had several Boneyard listeners that have closed loans with Blair, and everybody has given him rave reviews. Again, don't overthink it. There's no point shopping around. You got the best guy within our fan base doing a great job for you. Licensed to practice in multiple states, too. So don't think it's just limited here, you know, Madison or Rankin County. You know, you reach out to Blair, he can get you taken care of. All right, so let's jump into a little bit of men's basketball here. As much as we may not want to, you know, it was without a doubt, I'm not going to sit here and tell you everything's going to be okay, because I don't know that I believe that. I want to believe that, but Saturday was definitely a setback when it came to my confidence level and my emotions. I think the week off comes at a really good time. I thought we looked really tired and fatigued on Saturday. And, you know, I covered the baseball game with Mike Nemeth, and we had basketball game on. You know, David and Jacob were over there covering from us. And I found myself not watching much of the second half. And I certainly want to go back and watch it again. But, yeah, it's disappointing. Because I felt like, you know, hey, we were so close to beating Alabama. You know, it's like, hey, you know, I think we're going to come out and play well. You know, we've kind of redeemed ourselves after those losses and came out and played with real effort, but I just thought we looked flat. And that's not an indictment on anybody. I think when you face the grind and grueling nature of this schedule, at some point that's going to happen. You're going to have some nights like that. But one of the things that Chris Jans has been able to do in his 3 years here at Mississippi State is kind of avoid the bad loss. It's been a very rare occasion when somebody has really gotten after us. And when they have, it has traditionally been on their home floor. Well, we haven't had anybody really show up at the hump and kind of push us around much. And that happened Saturday. And I think that's a real concern. I think you guys would agree. I still think we're an NCAA tournament team. I'm not so confident now we get out of the first weekend. But I think, again, that's going to depend on matchups. But I think this week off is a great time for us because we've got to recoup and get ready to go to Georgia, and it's tough to go and play anywhere. But if you find a way to go out there, you know, Georgia and Florida are your next two, and that'll be Saturday and Tuesday of the next week, right? This week is a chance for us to get our legs back under us and then travel to Georgia, and we get Florida here, and we need that big marquee SEC win. And you say, but see, we beat Ole Miss. But guys, that's a rivalry game. But I'm not being disrespectful to Ole Miss, who's got a great team this year. But it's a rivalry game. We don't have that signature SEC win. You remember last year, you beat Tennessee, you beat Auburn in the regular season. Like, hey, the Bulldogs are for real. And then you went and beat Tennessee in the tournament, and it's like, it's not a fluke, baby. We're real, right? I just don't know if we've got that right now. We don't have that building block to really stand on and say, hey, this team is going to be tournament ready, because you know, we've played some ranked opponents here, and it is not going well for us once we got an SEC play. I mean, you go back and you think about, you know, hey, you had the big win over Pitt and absolutely embarrassed those guys. They were ranked 18th at the time. You go to Memphis, win on their floor, and we all felt, you know what, in that game we dominated too. You're thinking, hey, this is a team that's going to be tournament ready. And then you get an SEC play, and there's always a step up in competition. You get it, and it's not just the game itself. It's the fact that, the turnaround time, you know, you give all your emotional and mental energy into beating South Carolina, and then you immediately got to go on the road just 3 days later and play Vanderbilt. And you say, hey, it's Vanderbilt. But, yeah, but they were ranked last week. And the next thing you know, you're 2-0. You get number 6 Kentucky. That's an emotional loss, a game that we probably should have won, but we didn't. And I give Kentucky all the credit. They made the plays down the stretch to win, and we didn't. We go to Auburn, and we looked outclassed in that game. We did. That's the only game this year I looked at and said, man, they're just a lot better than us. Ole Miss, that's a game we probably should have won in regulation. We had a little bit of a meltdown there and kind of let them climb back into it and force overtime. But we gutted it out, and we won. And then we go to Tennessee, and we lose by a dozen. But let's be honest with ourselves, it was worse than that. I mean, it really was. It was. Then we go to South Carolina, a team that, at the time 0-6 in the league, and we have this huge lead evaporate because, again, we have really struggled to handle end-of-game situations. It's true. I mean, you can say it for what it is, and you can assign blame wherever you want to, but the reality of it is we have had trouble closing out games, especially in league play. Had to go to overtime. And again, you find a way to get it done. And then, of course, the Alabama game, a game that we all know we should have won. But give Alabama the credit. They played winning basketball in the final 2 minutes. We did not. And then Missouri came out, punched us in the mouth. And the next thing you know, it's like 13-5. We rally back and take a lead. And from there, it was all Tigers. It was. And I'm going to give you a long recap of this thing. We'll go back and look at the numbers a little bit. Caleb Grill killed us. 6-11 from beyond the arc. And again, there's always that one guy that seems to find that his liking to the Mississippi State defense. And our three-point defense is atrocious. You don't have to take my word for it. You can go look at the NCAA stats. We used to be one of the best teams in the country in perimeter defense. We are one of the worst this year. And that's probably the biggest surprise to me. Josh Hubbard went for 24. Cam Matthews with 6. We've got to find a way to get Cam Matthews scoring again. And Cam just attempted 5 shots. We got to find a way to get him involved in the offense. And I know you can't necessarily run a bunch of offense through him, but we've got to find a way to get him more involved. Claude O'Harris with just 6. Melendez with just 3. And Nwoko with just 2. Guys, let me just tell you this. When 4 of your 5 starters score in double and single digits, you're going to lose. Unless you've got Michael Jordan, right? You're going to lose. We've got to have more production from the starting 5. Again, you get Hub going again, and that was the big question a couple weeks ago. What's going on with Josh Hubbard? Okay, well, we got that figured out. And now that we got him going, some of the guys on the team are regressing. Now, Keyshawn Murphy, 16 points for him. And I don't know that I would trade him for anybody. He has been State's one of the most consistent performers throughout the year, pulled down 9 boards, nearly a double-double in this ballgame. 6 of 8 from the floor. Sean Jones, 4 points. You don't expect a big offensive night from Sean. Anything you get from Sean offensively is kind of a bonus. He's more of that hustle, guts, grit guy, right? Good defender, on the ball, rebounds. And really, a lot of times, too, is kind of like that putback guy, right? Or the guy when things kind of break down, kind of flashes. Riley Kugel with no points. Arguably our second best player. When you think talent-wise, and you get nothing from him. And that just can't happen. I don't know what's going on there, but we got to get that worked out. And so, again, give Missouri some credit, for coming out and playing good defense. And but, man, they were all over us. Bulldogs now 16-6 and 4-5 in the SEC. The Tigers advanced to 17-4 and 6-2 in the SEC. I think it's safe to say right now that we all agree that the Tigers are real. They are for real. You can say whatever you want to about them, but they are legit. And again, no games this week, so we're not going to look too far ahead of the game. But one of the things I do want to look at, we talk about the teams that we're going to play. and we talk about what a grind it can be in the SEC, let's take a look at Georgia's schedule real quick. We'll play them a week from Saturday. We'll play them on the 8th. Is that right? Is it a week from Saturday? It all runs together after a while. It does. But let's see here. Men's basketball schedule. Yes. Take a look here. Yeah, Georgia currently 15-7. But, they've got some games to play. So they will play. Yeah, we'll play them Saturday, February the 8th. They'll get LSU on Wednesday. And so that'll be in Stegman. So a bit of a homestand for them. So I expect them to win that game, as you guys probably do as well. You know, they got shelled by Alabama on Saturday, 90-69. But, Georgia, again, 15-7 overall, 3-6 in the conference. It should be a game, if we play up to our potential, that we can go win. And we'll preview that game more on Friday. But, again, no midweek game, a chance for us to kind of get our legs back under us, and we certainly need that to happen. Our next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart, a Starkvillian institution. If you're looking for Mississippi State merchandise, look no further than Campus Bookmart. Campus Bookmart knows what maroon looks like. You don't want your kids wandering around in a crimson Mississippi State shirt. Life is tough enough as it is with buying your rip-off third-party market apparel. Deal with Bulldogs that know what maroon looks like, and that's Miss Kathy Brown. Does an amazing job as a buyer at Campus Bookmart. And so what you need to do is next time you're in town, go by there and see their smiling faces. You'll be glad you did. And you'll have the opportunity to peruse their fine selections of Mississippi State merchandise, whether it be clothing, whether it be jackets, whether it be gift ideas, knickknacks. Maybe you've got that perfect spot in your house that you need something maroon. You can detail out your fan cave. You'll be glad you did. Find everything you need at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make the town, visit them on the World Wide Web at campusbookmart.net. And use promo code BSR, which stands for Beautiful Steve Robertson. And that gets you free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. All right, let's talk a little women's basketball. Actually, better game, I think, than most of us expected. Bulldogs went to LSU and acquitted themselves pretty well. But, three-point game got to us. And, we're in a bad spot. But the schedule is about to kind of ease up on us a little bit. We have to take full advantage. We expected to lose that LSU ball game. That's not a big surprise. But we are 3-6 now in the conference and 16-7 overall. The Missouri loss still looms large. Not just in the standings, but what will happen to us when it's postseason selection time. And you talk about, the difficult start we had. You got to go on the road and play nationally-ranked Kentucky. You get South Carolina, number two team in the country at the time, at home. You get Oklahoma at home. You win that one, thankfully. You go on the road, you beat Georgia, you're 2-2. Then you got to go to Knoxville, play the Lady Vols, lose the rivalry game. And then you demolish Auburn. And then you go on the road and you lay an egg and you lose to Missouri in a career game for Jaquela Jordan. But we lose by 14 to the Tigers. And any time that you got to go play Kim Mulkey's team, it's going to be tough. And especially after that first quarter, we all thought, here we go, down 24-12, this thing's going to get out of hand. However, Bulldogs kind of bite back, close out, win the second period 23-17. And all of a sudden, you look at this thing and like, okay, maybe, And then LSU comes out, wins the final two quarters, and it's an 81-67 game. But we're not going to push more victories. And, of course, Jaquela Jordan, they're going to harass her, especially after the big ball game she had against Missouri. She is the name you circle on the Mississippi State scouting report. Jaquela Jordan, just 9 points in the game, 0 of 3 from beyond the arc, just 2 of 12 from the floor. Not a good shooting day for her. Denim DeShields with 7, Chandler Prather with 6, Medina Okot with 6, DeBrescia Poe with 6. We need more from her. Anaya Russell coming off the bench gets 13. Destiny McFall with 10 off the bench. And then Quinara Montague with 10. So the three double-digit scorers we have all not in the starting lineup. Kind of is what it is. You know, LSU has four starters in double figures. And, you know, they're a machine. What can you say? There's no point in breaking the game down and feeling bad about it. But, you know, we've got to put some things together. Is this team an NCAA tournament team? Right now, I would say no, based on the current resume. Now, we're about to play, you know, some of the bottom half of the league, middle part of the league. We got a chance to make a run here, and it's got to start Thursday against Arkansas. We'll preview that game on the Wednesday show, but that is a must-win game for Mississippi State. If you lose that game, I think, you know, short of you winning the SEC tournament, your chances of making the NCAA tournament are very, very, very slim. That's not a hot take at all. But then you get Alabama coming in here on Sunday. So this could be a big week for State. You win these next two, all of a sudden you've got your confidence back. You're feeling a whole lot better about life. But, you know, there's just so much up and down with this team. That's the thing that's so frustrating, you know. I mean, it truly is. It's just so much up and down with this team. We've got to find some consistency. You got to go to Vanderbilt and play. They're currently ranked 22nd in the country. You got to go to Florida. They have not been great. Texas A&M comes here. And then you got Vicks, homecoming. That's going to be a tough night. Then you go to Auburn. But you look at this and say, okay, the only sure loss down the stretch that you probably would agree upon is Texas. I think every other game is a toss-up. Of course, going on the road to play Vanderbilt, it's going to be difficult. Alabama coming here is going to be difficult. But both of those are winning games if we play up to our potential. So we have a chance to close out really strong, and we simply have to. And again, I know some people are kind of off the bandwagon here, but you know, reality of it is that you know, we've played a pretty brutal stretch here. You know, and again, the one loss you have that you didn't expect to have was Missouri. And to be fair about that, maybe the one win you have that you didn't expect was Oklahoma. So in some respects, you could say we're probably right where many people expected us to be. But you beat Oklahoma, you should beat Missouri, especially a team that was, you know, what, 11-10 at the time and 0-6 in the league. But we're going to have to make it happen. Simple as that. We're 8-2 at home, you know, and that's big, you know. Again, it's so difficult to go out and win on the road in the Southeastern Conference. And one of those two losses, of course, is to South Carolina. And it doesn't matter where we play them. It's always going to be a difficult matchup for us. But, yeah, we've got to find a way to turn some things around. And you lose a rivalry game at home, you don't get a chance of redemption unless you happen to play Ole Miss in the tournament. Not a great Ole Miss team, but a good team in a game that we let get away from us. But, yeah, Sam needs to find a way and to find some continuity with this team. I mean, there's just so much up and down with this team. One could argue that on the men's side, too, but I would venture to say, too, you know, State really hadn't had that bad loss. And you look at, hey, we should have beat Missouri. Missouri's nationally ranked. You know, and you had the loss at Butler, and that's a great non-conference matchup. And you went up there and didn't play well, kind of played their game. They kind of dictated terms to us. But on the women's side, I mean, you just never know from one game to the next. At least with the men, outside of the Missouri game was kind of an outlier, but I think most everything else has kind of gone to script. You know, we knew the Kentucky game and Alabama game were going to be barn burners, and we hoped to come out on the winning end of those, but we didn't. On the women's side, you know, it's so incredibly unpredictable because you just never know which Mississippi State team's going to show up. Of course, you get that Auburn team that is just absolutely got awful. And you beat them by 40, and then, you know, that's the comments, oh, you know, this team could be special, and, you know, and then it's so special, we turn out and go to Missouri and lose to a team that was currently winless in the SEC. So a lot for us to kind of figure out. When we hoped to finish in the top half of this league, we still can, and I think that's a requirement for us to make the tournament. I don't think you're going to get in being in the bottom half. As bad as the league is on the bottom half, I just don't think it's going to happen. And so it's got to start on Thursday against Arkansas. You know, we'll have full coverage of the event. We're even staffing a photographer for the game, and hopefully we can kind of pull some things together. I know many of you guys feel the same way that I do. You know, I root for the logo, right? No matter what the sport is, I root for Mississippi State. It doesn't matter. Hey, you get some kids out there, you know, shooting marbles, and one of them's wearing a Mississippi State hat. That's who I'm cheering for, right? I want Mississippi State to do well. I know many of you feel the same way. You know, some of our fans kind of have, like, their own favorites. Like, and, you know, my favorite is Mississippi State. You know, whatever sport we're playing in, that's the sport that I'm cheering for. I'm not going to pick one over the other. Now, I love baseball. I make no apologies for that. But I don't like it to the detriment of basketball. And I don't like football to the detriment of any women's sports. That's one of the reasons I go out and covered women's soccer this past year. I say something special's happening here. We need to provide these ladies some coverage, right? You know, I'll even turn on the volleyball games when we're winning. You know, I'm a little bit fair-weathered, but like many of you, I cheer for the logo. I want what's best for Mississippi State. I want us to win in all sports. You know, it's like I think we have a segment of our fan base that roots against other sports because they think, hey, if they struggle, then they'll allocate more resources to my favorite sport. No, that's not how it works. Actually, they'll allocate more resources to that sport to try to get it back on you know, even ground. But that's how I feel about it. But I am rooting for Sam Purcell. I am rooting for these ladies. Sam's an easy guy to cheer for. He's always so positive. And, you know, really hope that things turn around for the Lady Bulldogs very, very quickly. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. It is the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. If you hadn't done so, you should try it. I encourage you, kind of like our first segment of the show, I encourage you to make a move yourself. We always say it, we need to get together under better circumstances. I heard that today. Hey, man, we all need to get together and maybe go fishing or something. You know, let's go do something when it's not a funeral, right? Don't let funerals be your reunions. Make plans today to get the friends or the family together at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. Now, Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, and when you do, their Facebook page is going to auto-populate. You can look through the pictures of all the amenities available to you and your guest. When you stay at the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you get that great, great living room area, the full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the great back porch area, the fire pit area. We used that extensively when we were there. So, and you'd be proud of your boy. Some of that wood was damp. I still got it going. 6 bedrooms, 2, soon-to-be 3 baths. Plenty of room for everybody to kind of spread out and have their own quarters. But, you know, the best part of it is not just what the events you're there for. It's not just coming to the ball game. It's all those hours spent together just kind of doing nothing, just kind of getting caught up, bonding, right? So don't wait for somebody else to have the idea. You have the idea, and you make the plans. You be the linchpin in your friend and family group to plan this trip. And we're going to make it easy on you. After you Google Stark Vegas Clubhouse, you're going to have some booking options pop up, right? Airbnb, VRBO, you can go that route if you need to. Maybe you've got a credit with them. I don't know. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's BSR, the number 10, 10, and you get 10% off your stay. How cool is that? Just by listening to this show, you're saving money at the premier place to stay in the Golden Triangle, whether it's a friend group, a work group, family group. They can accommodate you and give you a great place to stay. You'll be glad you did. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle. You know, we had the baseball scrimmages over the weekend, too. And, you know, we cover those all year long. It's not just something we do whenever we get around to it. It's a priority to us because I know many of you want to know what the team looks like, who's doing well, so you can be prepared. Well, a name, again, that you need to continue to think about is Ace Reese. Another big weekend for him. Hunter Hines had a couple bombs over the weekend. One of those, off Jack Gleason, I don't know that many people in the country could have hit that ball out. He's actually a little bit fooled on the pitch, and he just kind of flicks his wrist. And Hunter has put some weight back on. He probably got a little bit too thin last year. But Hunter is so big and physical and strong, and Jack Gleason's not going to be the last pitcher to give up a home run like that. Hines hit one early in the scrimmage on Sunday. It was absolute Ruthian blast. But the second one was probably even more impressive. But see, he just kind of gets out there and just throws the bat head at it. That's what we say in baseball terminology. Throws the bat head at it, and the ball leaks over the fence. And you don't get a lot of wall scrapers from Hunter Hines. You know, most of his are tape measure shots. But I was encouraged to see that because I think that ball last year would have just been an F9. You know, it may have just been just a warning track shot, a long out. So I think you're starting to see, you know, some evidence that Hunter Hines is kind of regaining his form. Good big day for him on Sunday. And again, you talk about Ace Reese. I don't know if Ace isn't our leadoff hitter, to be quite honest with you. Him or Sawyer Reeves. Ross Highfield. You know, I've been a Ross Highfield stan since the day that he committed to Mississippi State. I remember, you know, people were telling me, you know, Steve, we got to find a way to get this kid away from Southern Miss. And all we got to do is offer, he's going to come. Well, he did. And, of course, Ross got hurt last year. Guys, Ross Highfield is a freak. He is an absolute freak. You know, when we talked about just last week, I said, you know, Dave Marchand was always that irritant, the guy that gave the pitcher something else to think about. Ross Highfield may be taking that role. You say, Steve, he's a catcher. Yeah, he is a freak of an athlete. And I don't know that days he doesn't catch, he shouldn't DH or play outfield. People forget he hit 9 home runs as a freshman. He had 3 in a game against Lipscomb. But there were a couple other games that he just missed, hit multi-home run games. I expect a double-digit home run year from him. And I think that's an important part of this offense. I think we're going to be really good offensively. And I think we pitched it pretty well on Sunday. The Sunday scrimmage was very entertaining. For those of you who attended, I think you'll agree. It came down to the very end. Tie ball game 4-4, and then they finally kind of broke it open there. And I think it was final score, I guess, 6-4. But I like what we're seeing from Ross. Now, if I'm Coach Lemonis, and I'm not, Ross Highfield is my everyday catcher, or at least my starting catcher 3 out of 4 days a week. That's my feeling. And it's not just the base running and the offensive prowess. Number one, he's got a great eye, finds a way to get on base. He's not chasing that slider in the dirt near like he was 2 years ago. But it's controlling the running game. And I have not seen much from the other catchers. I would say, you know, maybe 90% of the caught stealings that I've seen this spring have been Ross. Now, sometimes Ross gets caught daydreaming back there a little bit too. But he made a play yesterday that's about as good as you'll ever see. And I got to kind of break this down and explain it in baseball terms because I want the casual fan to kind of get this. So there was a slider that was off the plate. And honestly, it was pretty much in the other batter's box. You got a right-handed hitter up there, so you're a right-handed pitcher, so a slider breaking away. And you had a base runner, I can't remember who it was, that kind of leaked a little bit too far off the bag. And Rice doesn't just go block it up. He catches it clean just off the turf and then picks the guy off first. Hines had to, you know, get over there and jump to the bag, and you throw him out. There's not a lot of catchers in the country that are going to make that play because a lot of guys, especially with runners at first and second, you know the ball right in front of you is not going to send that runner to third. A guy may chance it going to second, but not to third. And so how many guys are just going to kind of slot over there and block that thing up? But instead, Highfield, the freak that he is, because the dude's an alien, he sticks the catch and then throws the guy out by like 3 steps. And good communication, too, good recognition by Hines to see what's happening, who has made some real strides defensively in the last 2 years. Not the most natural first baseman, but you can tell he's really worked at it. But Highfield handles the running game better than the rest of the catchers. Powell had a caught stealing yesterday, and I think he's the guy, maybe he's a midweek guy, and we talk a lot about Jackson Owen. We got to figure out this whole thing with him. He is a guy that's a really good receiver, but he's not nearly as good in controlling the running game. I mean, I'm just kind of calling it for what it is. But when you see what he is doing at the plate, it really complicates things. Because you can't just treat Jackson Owens, well, he's just our third-team catcher. Jackson Owen is one of the better offensive players on the team. And that's one that I begin to think about. It's like, okay, How do I find a way to get him in the order? Well, okay, we'll DH him. Well, what are you going to do with Noah Sullivan? Well, that's, you know, it's a good question, right? And you're like, well, then you got Reed Stallman, who hit an absolute tremendous home run yesterday too, and then came back with another base hit, really nice shot into right field. What are you going to do with him? Well, Steve, he's my left-handed DH. Okay, great. So you're just going to eliminate him? You know, I think what's going to have to happen, and Nolan Stevens kind of got a slow start in the spring, had a good day yesterday. And a lot of this is between their ears, you know. And you see that a lot with guys that are emerging as starters for the first time. Because you get a little bit of imposter syndrome, even if you're a competitor, you know. And all of a sudden, hey, I'm a starter, and I got somebody behind me as good or potentially better that is emerging, having a better spring. Well, then all of a sudden you start pressing a little bit. And so it's good to see Nolan go out there and hit the ball well. I think his ceiling is much higher than some of the other guys. But when he plays and pitches, you know, like if you know that you're going to pitch him, do you start somebody else in right? Because you don't want to get too left-handed, right? That's the thing that I begin to think about with this. Do you put Highfield in right? I know you worry a little bit about the arm, but he's full go. You know, he's a catcher. Catchers have some of the better arms on the team. And so could Ross play right field? I believe he could. And so don't be surprised if Ross Highfield, on a day that he doesn't catch, ends up somewhere in the outfield. I don't know if it's center field or right field or left, but he's athletic enough to handle that. I mean, I'm just kind of saying it for what it is. But you're sacrificing a little bit in controlling the running game without Highfield. But Highfield can't catch four games a week. You know, you think, okay, well, he's going to get at least two on the weekend. And so, you know, do I have Jackson Owen catch midweek and Powell catch the middle game on the weekend and then let Ross play another spot? You know, it's a good problem to have. The fact that you got – and then you got young Steven Spoletta, you know, who had to play last year at times in the midweek just because we had injuries, you know. That's a thing to think, consider too. But I don't know that when we've had this much depth at catcher. I think that's – number one, good job, Kyle Cheesebro. But, you know, Joe was a guy that really emerged last year. And people forget, you know, he was away from baseball for 18 months. And it took him a little while to kind of get the bat going. And down the stretch there, there was about 10 days in there where you couldn't even throw to him because he was going to rake. And so when I think about the dynamic of this lineup, I think that you have to be a little bit creative. You know, you don't want to get too left-handed centric because, again, Ace Reese is a dude. Probably going to lead you in home runs this year if Hunter Hines doesn't, you know. And you're going to love Ace Reese. I'm just telling you, you're going to love him. Now, I've noticed the last couple of scrimmages have been careful with him. He's not throwing the ball across the diamond, which tells me he's probably got a little arm soreness. And it's good to be protective of that. But that's one of those things, too, you know, leaning in here 11 days away from opening day that I'm a little bit concerned about, you know. And so, Ace, left-hander, Hines, left-hander, you know, you begin to kind of work your way through this, you could put yourself in a situation where you have too many left-handers. And so when there is the lefty starter, you're going to have to adjust. You know, when there is the lefty starter, you know, I think no question about it, Noah Sullivan's your DH. Guy that hit 18 bombs last year, I think that's right, 18. When you have a right-hander, is Reed Stallman your left-handed DH? You know, you got more bats than you got spots in the lineup, and you didn't have that last year. And as I mentioned yesterday, I wrote a free column about this, about, you know, the freshman pitchers. Here's the thing that impresses me about them. And if Cosmo Kramer taught us anything, is it poise matters. You remember when he was the beauty pageant consultant, right, for Jerry's date, you know? It's a great episode. But I watched some of those young guys over the weekend. And many of these guys, you know, 10 months removed from renting a tux to go to prom with their friends, with your little 16, 17-year-old girlfriends, and now all of a sudden you're having to throw a fastball that got everybody out in high school to one of the most prolific hitters in all of college baseball in Hunter Hines, and a guy that could set the Mississippi State home run record. How are you going to respond? And what I saw, and it wasn't just, you know, when Hunter got a hold of one, but the young kids just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. How many times have you seen a young guy? Because it's embarrassing, guys. I mean, it is, especially when you're a young guy fighting for a role. And Justin Parker has worked with you, and hey, we've changed this in the grip, and we're going to do this in the delivery, and we're going to refine this. And you get out there, and you're doing everything you're supposed to do. And the next thing you know, there's a ball 450 feet. And that's baseball, right? It's easy for me and you to say, we're not out there fighting for a job. And the guys that let that get to them aren't ready to play this year. But Jack Gleason kind of got beat up a little bit yesterday. But rather than see him fold and have negative body language, he just kept coming. He just kept pounding the strike zone, kept challenging hitters. You know, just really, really, really pushed this thing ahead. And so I think we are in a very unique situation with these young pitchers. You know what Charlie Foster can do? And he didn't pitch this weekend, and he's fine, okay? Everybody needs to relax. But these young pitchers, maybe the greatest contribution they can make this year is just to take care of midweek. And maybe Noah Sullivan, right? Maybe Noah is the salty veteran on the back end of a game. You know, because, hey, he was a great G5 pitcher in addition to a DH. He only lost one game in his college career as a pitcher. And so then if we can just think about saving our premium arms for the weekend, like if we never have to throw Gavin Black in a midweek game or never have to throw Pruitt in a midweek game or Stone Simmons or Mekhi Grant, you know, and maybe Mekhi initially just to kind of get him back up because he had a rough inning yesterday and then he bounced right back and was outstanding in the second inning. You know, that's what happens. He's Tommy John guys. It takes a little while to start throwing strikes at a higher proficiency. And so if we just think about these young guys, if they can just take ownership of midweek, what an incredible benefit that is to the rest of the team. Also had the privilege of attending the men's clinic, the first ever men's clinic on Saturday. And, yes, I had a few Rockets out there in Palmero. Maybe you've seen. My friend Johnny Hayes videoed unbeknownst to me. And, I'm pretty good for an older guy. I'm not worth anything for a younger guy, though. I'll just kind of say it for what it is. But it was a great experience, and I got to meet so many of you. And a lot of Gene's paid subscribers were there, too. And I was fascinated with all the analytics stuff and how we're on the forefront of technology in baseball. Incredible type stuff. There's a new program, the SimTool 6, I believe is what we're calling it. Let me double check that. But Major League Baseball came to Mississippi State and said, yeah, SMT 6, SMT is the company. 6 Tool is the program. But in the SEC, I believe it's only Arkansas, Louisiana State, and Mississippi State, or LSU. We don't call Louisiana State. I think that's right. And there's a handful of other schools around the country. But MLB came to State and said, hey, we'd love to put this technology in your ballpark. And so what it does is it tracks movement of players. And so it tracks reaction time, acceleration, catch probability, all of these things that they use to scout players. And so they said, hey, we'll put it in there for free, and then we'll give you the data for free. How cool is that? And so now when there's a ball in the air, you can kind of see who's hustling. And you can track the movement of all 9 players on the field at that time. It's incredible. And so sometimes, obviously, when somebody's calling, I got it, well, your acceleration is going to slow down because you're yielding way. But it was fascinating to see Bobby go through all that. And, of course, Justin Parker went through some great things analytical. But you should consider going next year. I know the women's clinic is always packed. The men's clinic is the first time we've done it. And you know, I think they doubled. When they first told me about it, and we wrote a story on it, I think they ended up doubling the registration in the last couple of weeks, you know, as we began to kind of talk about that. But yeah, you should consider, if you love baseball, like especially if you're like a nerd, like if you're a stats nerd or a data or analytics nerd, you would absolutely love it. It's not just, hey, I get a chance to walk around Palmero and swing the bat and go check out the weight room and, you know, get a chance to get a picture with the player. You get to do all that stuff too. But you learn a lot about the inner workings of Mississippi State baseball, and I think that is time well spent. So be sure and put that on your calendar next year. If you hadn't done so, go to dudenoblebook.com. You can get signed copies of The Dude. I got a great review today I'll share with you. Hey, Steve, just finished reading The Dude just now. It's a tremendous book, sir. It should be required reading for all MSU alumni and athletes, seriously. More than anything I have ever read before, I think The Dude tells who MSU is and what we are about. Somehow, it should be read by all MSU folk. And I'm not sure how, Steve, but I think it could be made into a movie. Maybe you should take a shot at converting this to a screenplay. Well, I have no plans to do that, but those are very nice words. Got several reviews like that, and you know, I think you need to get a copy of The Dude, too. It's a little more evergreen than some of those other books, but all of my sports titles are there at dudenoblebook.com, and we actually had a few people today back home told me they were buying When the Bottom Falls because I got some Columbia stuff in there. And so you can find all that there. And now we're also running a special, two floats for $99 for the Valentine's special. Be a great date night for you and the person you love, or maybe just you and a friend. You love them too. Maybe you're not romantically linked, but it's a chance for you to get two floats for $99. Dial 662-268-7601. We'd love to have you come float. Maybe you've got chronic anxiety or chronic pain. We may be able to help you. But more importantly, maybe you just need a break and have a unique experience. We've got that for you in spades. Come be a part of that at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. And always come be with us at jeanspage.com. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies, and people can see a difference in the way we live.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.